Have you read one of the lives of Ramana?
Well, I have read one, but I actually I don't want to discuss him because my teacher didn't. He based it on the Gita, which is which his teacher was a follower, and that was what he taught us.
Can we ask you how you view sport as a form of life training?
Well, if it has, the point of it trains will, and it trains non-attachment. And if we learn those two things, we've learned two very valuable lessons for yoga. Very, very valuable.
How is it in your own personal experience, when you're suppressing emotion, how does a person cope with that? A normal person has emotion. If you eliminate it, does it find some other form? Is it channeled in another way, or is it completely cut dead?
In yoga, it's Zen. They turn it into austerity, inquiry, and will.
But I mean, do they feel happy that they found the answer to something? Is it a sort of fascination with inquiry? Is it an emotional satisfaction? Hidden, but
there's a lot of fighting spirit in Zen, and there are a lot of people who respond to a challenge. It stimulates them. They're mountaineers, you see. There's nothing at the top of the mountain. You just, it's there. I'm going to climb it. Well, now, this is a particular type, or it's a person at a particular stage of life. And that's the time when they'll do that, and they'll respond to these things. And in the Zen, yes, you have to produce an answer to the teacher twice a day. You've got to produce an answer. And he's got a big stick. In yoga, the emotions are made universal. But in Zen, yes, you can say they're sort of recanalized. They're forced into this inquiry and will. They do some, they all practice some art, the Zen monks. If it's calligraphy, they're mostly good calligraphers. And they nearly all paint a bit. From the Zen point of view, if you're really keen on listening to music, you should all play something yourself, not necessarily well, but you should create some beauty, not passively listen. Now, this is it's not mine, this is a Zen saying. Don't passively appreciate. Make some contribution. You don't have to be good. They all write poems. There are 300 poetry magazines in Japan. Here there are about 5. Sometimes if you see the sun going down in a beauty spot, people are silent. You come back afterwards. They've made little poems. They're rotten, most of them, but they've made them. This is why the educational standard in Japan is very high, because the mothers are educated and cultured. And you can say that the designs of the cups and the towels in Japan is much better. Here we just put 3 red stripes on them. There's your towel. But there, the mass-produced things are not without taste, because the Japanese housewife has the taste to choose the good design. And many of them, they don't have to be rich. Here with the flower arrangement, you've got to have a sort of cornucopia, masses of flowers, haven't you? If you've got 2 or 3, it's skimpy. But Japanese, no. Just a few flowers. It can be a masterpiece. You don't have to be rich. And many of the housewives who aren't rich at all, who aren't well off at all, they take little lessons. At a peak hour on the television, I saw a lesson in flower arrangement. And it was very well done. They got some amateurs from all classes of life, and they brought their flower arrangement. And the expert, she was a woman, she looked at them. And she said, yes. And one was looking at them, and you think, well, that's pretty. And she said, you see, the gaps here, there's no relation between them. And then she just shifted it. I thought, yes, that's it. Then another one would come on. Now, it's not only my impression. I've compared notes with Japanese women who were interested in it. It's mostly the women. And they say, yes, that is so. You think it's very good. And the expert says, it can be improved. And you think, no, no. In those things, yes, the Zen training, they do a little bit of meditation. Before a broadcast, you see, we're smoking cigarettes. Or quite a lot of Japanese will sit down. They're not Zen people at all, but they calm the mind. In a chess championship here, they make the first few moves like lightning to gain time, you see. But I've seen Japanese chess champion. He sat for 10 minutes. Then he made his opening move, the one he always makes. And I know him. I said to him after, "Why, what are you doing?" He said, "There's a current. First of all, I'm calming myself. Then I feel a current. And I come to know how he is feeling." Now, these are things that are unknown to us. Some of us learn individually one of these little things, but we've got no tradition of it. People here, individuals learn it, but very often they only learn it in their particular field. If you saw Menuhin going to play, when he's just going to begin, there's a sort of withdrawal, like a man meditating. And you see this sometimes, but we don't have a tradition. So it's generally dies with the man. Perhaps he teaches it. Well, in these things, Zen has contributed to everyday life. And this is one of the glories of Zen in Japan. In China and India, it was just a little. But in Japan, yes, you can say the influence was very great.